Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. It's always a joy to come and share the Word of God with you and have that opportunity over this radio station. And I appreciate all the comments that I get back and the good response. It don't make any difference where I go. It seems like I run into somebody who has heard us, and I appreciate those that are listening. I pray that all of you are well. And I hope that maybe you're just traveling or something, listening in your car. But if you're not well, then we pray, Lord, that we'll restore you to your health so that you can be back in church. And for those that are shut in, we're glad that we can offer this today. Now, today I'm doing something just a little bit different. I've been in the Word all week. I had a funeral. I had a revival night that I had to preach, and in preparing my messages for Sunday and being able to come and to share this with you all today. And you know, the Lord really impressed upon my heart to not preach what I'm actually preaching in the service this morning, but to preach to you what I preached at revival, because it is so important. You know, we have been talking about revival. We've been talking about our revival at our church, and we had a great revival. We can't complain. The Lord did a great work, and we saw people here. We saw a good crowd of people, and it just blessed our hearts to see the response. We had one young man saved and a lot of rededications, and you know, that's what revival is all about, to see God's people get right. But you know, it's still in the back of our minds this morning what I want us to think about: can America be revived? Can it really be revived? Can it really happen? You know, we wonder, well, have we gone too far? Has God turned his back? Well, I don't think God has turned his back upon us, but I just think we're not seeking revival enough. So this morning we're going to look at a story there in the Old Testament. We're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 11 through 20, excuse me, of Nehemiah chapter 2, as we think about, can America be revived? So let's look, if you will, before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get right into it. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and stand and proclaim your word once again, Lord, and I just pray tonight, Lord, as you've laid upon our heart to preach about revival happening in America, that it can happen because you are a great God. Lord, so many times we don't pray boldly enough. So many times we don't pray expecting so great things of you. We pray, Lord, so many insignificant prayers, Lord, that are not specific and are so general. And then we wonder why we don't see great things happen. So, Lord, we are praying for a revival in America. We're praying for it to start in your churches, to spread in your communities, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you'll speak through me the words that we need to hear today, Lord, that you cleanse me of my sin, that you continue to revive me, and, Lord, continue to stir up the spirit that is within me, and forgive me, and Lord, and make me a vessel you can speak through this morning, Lord, and that we will see revival take place in the months, years to come across our nation, because without it, Lord, we don't stand a chance. So, Lord, I pray for those that are listening that may be sick. I pray for their restored health. For the shut-ins, I pray for peace and comfort for them. For those that may be traveling, protect them while they're traveling, Lord. But we're going to give you the honor and the glory and the praise for all that happens, that if there is one lost, that they would come to know you today. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. So this morning, as we think about revival, as we look at revival, I know the church that I was at out at Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church on Wednesday night to preach a message for them. One of their nights, we had Sunday through Thursday, and a different preacher every service, and I was able to preach on the Wednesday night, and I went and I listened to all the other pastors except for the one on Sunday. I couldn't miss our church on Sunday, but I did go all the other nights, and I just to hear our preachers as they were preaching, Lord, it was so refreshing to me to hear them preaching for revival and calling for revival. And there was a lot of young preachers that were preaching, two young preachers, and it encouraged me to hear them still believing that, yes, revival can take place, that America can be revived. There was a welcome written by the Brother Thompson there in his program, and in his welcome he used words of such as revival and rejuvenate and renewal. And so he's seeking, he believes that revival can take place. But the question is, Do you believe this morning that revival can take place in America? Can it happen in America? So I want us to look kind of this morning, kind of hurry, because we got seven things that I believe that we see through this story of Nehemiah that I believe tells us and points us to how revival can take place in America. So let's listen, if you will, in Nehemiah chapter 2. We're going to begin with verse 11, and it says, "So I came to Jerusalem, and there were 3 days, and I rose in the night, I and a few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which was broken down, and the gates thereof was consumed with fire. Then I went on the gate to the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went, and what I did, neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did work. Then said I unto them, You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no more be a reproach. Then I told them to the hand of my God, how the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words, and he had spoken unto me, and they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonites and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, What is this thing that ye do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answer I them and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore was his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, no right, and no memorial in Jerusalem. You know, this morning as we read what happens in this story of Nehemiah, we know that Nehemiah has been taken away. He is the cupbearer there of Artaxerxes. We know that he is there, and he receives word from a group of people who had been to Jerusalem. And so he asked them, he says, you know, what has gone on in Jerusalem? What has happened there at Jerusalem? And we know as the story progresses, they tell him just how afflicted they were and how bad it was and how the gates had been burned and how the walls were broken down and everything had been destroyed. And it just came upon Nehemiah in such a way, it just burdened him so much that he just knelt, wept, and fasted for certain days and prayed before God because of what he had seen. And so his king, we know that as he goes in at that morning, and there he's, you know, bearing the cup of the king, and there he's there to serve the king. In Artaxerxes, we know that he looks at Nehemiah, and what does he say? He says, What's wrong with you? You know, you're not the happy, jolly fellow that you usually are. So, you know, what's wrong with you? What's going on with you? And what did Nehemiah tell him? He told him what had happened, and he received word. And he said he was so concerned about Jerusalem. Isn't it amazing how God works? How God, the king, allowed him to go. The king gave him a writ and a letter. The king backed him in everything that he wanted to do. And so then we pick up in verse 11. So he went to Jerusalem, and when he gets there, he says he didn't take anything with him to start with. He just went, had a group of men with him. The only thing he had was the beast that he was riding upon. He got up in the night and he began to go and survey the city. And it was worse than he had ever thought. I mean, some gates he couldn't even get through. Some places he tried to go, his beast couldn't even go through. I mean, it was just a total disaster. And he didn't say anything to anybody what his plan was about what? Reviving the city. reviving Jerusalem, building back the walls, bringing to revival. That's what he wanted, folks. He wanted revival. But he hadn't told the folks yet. He hadn't said anything to any of them. And then the next morning, what does he do? He tells them what he wants to do. He tells them how God has put this burden upon him. He tells them how that the king had given him words and said that he would help him. And then what happens? The old enemy always shows up, doesn't he? The old enemy always wants to say, you cannot have revival. You can't experience revival. You can't do it. Matter of fact, they mocked him. They even said, even on further over, when they do start building, what did they say? Even if you do start building, a fox will knock it down. There's no way you can build anything. So what was Nehemiah's response? He said what? Then we asked and said unto them, the God of heaven will prosper us. So this morning, can America be revived? Can America be revived? Well, I hope that we can learn from this lesson from Nehemiah that yes, America can be revived. I want us to see seven things. So it's kind of lengthy, but I think we can see it all. First of all, they're not real long. First of all, he had what? A personal burden. He had a personal burden for what he saw. Second of all, we must see the need. We must see the need for revival. The third thing, we must have a vision. He had a vision of rebuilding that wall, did he not? Then we must what? We must restore the Word of God. The Word of God has to be restored back to us. If we're going to have revival, that Word of God must be restored back. Number five, we see that we must accept the challenge. If we want to see revival, we're challenged to have revival. It won't happen unless we accept that challenge. And then we must expect the enemy to attack, because the enemy will attack. And then the last thing, for revival to take place, God will prosper us. He must do the prospering. He must send the revival. So let's go back and look at these seven things tonight as we think about, can America be revived? So the first thing I said is that there must be that personal burden. Now, when Nehemiah asked, what is happening? Going back to chapter 1, those first several verses there, he asked in verses 4, what did he say? In verse 2, he says, what's going on at Jerusalem? Have you heard any word from those that were left? See, they took, when they would go on to exile and when they would be conquered and stuff, they would always take the wealthiest, and they would take the best looking and the strongest and the weakest and the poorest and all. They would leave them. They wouldn't worry about them. They said they'll never amount to anything. And so they take all the good and all the best. And so these people were just left destitute. There was nothing there. The walls had been broken down. And what happened? We see that when Nehemiah hears this, it was a burden upon him. He turned and he cried and he fasted and he called out unto the Lord because he was so upset about the condition that he saw the Jerusalem in. And you know, I think about that today. I think about that today. How many tears have we seen shed over the state of America today? How many tears have we seen shed over the disasters that we see? I'm not talking about the fires in Hawaii. I'm not talking about the floods in California. I'm not talking about the hurricanes that come in on the coast. I'm not talking about the diseases that we see that take so many lives. I don't talk about those things, because these are all things that bring tears to my eyes. These are things that burden me. But brothers and sisters, we got to get burdened about the lostness of America. We got to get burdened about what's going on in America. We've got to get to where we're shedding tears when we see how far America has gotten away from God, when we see the devastation that is in America, the spiritual destruction that has taken place in America. You know, so many people want to tell us how much better America's doing and how great America is and how good America is. But brothers and sisters, if we could pull back the spiritual curtain and if we could see the spiritual condition of America today, I believe all of us would cringe if we really saw what the spiritual condition of America looked like today. Nehemiah was burdened. Are you burdened about it? Does it keep you up at night? I mean, a lot of things keep us up at night. And we're worried about that 401k, what's the stock market's doing. You know, we're worried about, are we going to be able to keep our job? We worry about the prices of gas. But are you burdened about the spiritual condition of your family? Are you worried about the spiritual condition of America? Does it burden you? Did it bring you to tears? Did it bring you to fasting to where you can't eat? Revival won't take place in America until God's people get burdened about what's going on in America. Well, let's look at the second thing. They had to see the need, didn't they? It says he went by night, verses 13 through 15. He went and he looked at every gate. He went all through the city. And when he saw it, he was just overwhelmed with it. And then in verse 17, then he said unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth in waits, and the gates are burned with fire. You see how the gates are burned, how we lay in waste. In other words, you see the condition that we're in. Do you see the needs? Do we see the needs? You know, we so many times, I believe, we've gotten to the point that we think, well, the government will take care of it. Well, the government's not going to take care of the spiritual needs, I can assure you. If anything else, the government is a problem. You know, we think, well, somebody else, let Samaritan Purse do it. You know, let them minister to them. They're doing a great job. They was the first one there in Hawaii. Well, let Red Cross do it. You know, they can do it. Well, brothers and sisters, if they were going to bring revival to America, it would have done happen. It would have done happen. 8 days of hope. They can't do it. They can't do it, folks. We all must see the need as God's people. If we want to see America experience revival, then we've got to see the need for a revival in our own hearts, in our own lives, in our own homes, in our own churches, in our own towns, our own communities. And when we start seeing it on that need at home, then we'll start seeing us fulfill those needs around the world. And revival will take place. But if we don't see a need for it, you know, hey, I know we preached about this, talked about this in our revival before our revival began. How many churches don't even have revivals today? How many churches are not even scheduling revivals any day? I heard one of the young preachers that preached at revival this week. He said, you can't schedule revival. You can only seek revival. And, you know, he's exactly right. You know, we can't just schedule that it's going to happen on this certain week. But brothers and sisters, we at least got to make an effort to have a revival. We got to make an effort to bring evangelists in, to have that special time, to do more above and beyond the just meeting on Sundays and get people to show up more than just Sunday at preaching. We'll never have revival with a group of people that just show up on Sunday just for preaching. It's going to take people who actually see the need. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, what did he say? You need to look into the harvest. For what? The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. We need to pray for the Lord of the harvest, he says, to send forth laborers, because the laborers are few and the harvest is great. It's already white, he says in another instance. He says, look into the fields, see the need, and then answer that call to meet that need. But so many times we see that we're not doing that. And then we wonder why we're not having revival. Until we see the need for it, then we're not going to do anything about it. We have to see the need for it. Then thirdly, we must have a vision. We see that Nehemiah had a vision. From the time that he heard and he got that burden, then when he arrives, he sees the need. He had a vision from the time that he left King Artaxerxes. And I don't know if I'm even saying that right. I'm not, but you can read it in the Bible. But what did he say? From the time that he left there, he had a vision. He had a vision, and the vision was what? Was to build the wall. That was his vision. Let's build the wall back. That's what he wanted to do. You see that last part of that verse 17? He says, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, the gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem and be no more a reproach. Let us build up the wall. In other words, let us experience revival. Let us experience the Bible. You know, we don't need any more visions of any more churches or buildings. You know, we look around Macomb right now, and I know we got 30 just Baptist churches, Southern Baptist churches. That's not counting all the missionary Baptists and all the Church of God and the Assembly of Gods and the Methodists and the Presbyterian and all these. You know, that's not counting all them, just 30 just Baptist churches. So, you know, as far as looking and having a vision, well, we just need to build some more churches. No, what we need to do is revival in the churches that we got. We need to see revival in the churches that we got. We need to have a vision about bringing revival to the people, not to a church building, but to the people. And it says he had a vision. We're going to build these walls back, but his vision was much more than that. His vision was one for the people to be protected and the people to be safe and the people to be back worshiping God without worry of the enemy coming in and attacking them. It was more than just a wall. It was a lot more than just a wall, his vision was, but it was for them to be restored back to the place and to the center of worshiping God. You know, Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people will perish. Where there is no vision, the people will perish. You know, we can have visions all day long about this material stuff. But until we get and catch the vision of what? Until we catch the vision of those spiritual things, those things that are not seen, those things that matter most of all, then we're not going to see revival take place in America. We've got to quit worrying about building mega churches, and we've got to start worrying about reviving the churches that we have and reviving the people and bringing them. And then, if we need more churches, then we catch that vision to build them. Well, let's look at the fourth thing. We see that he is burdened. We see that they see the need. He has that vision to build back the wall. And then look what happens. We see that they had to do what? They had to restore the Word of God. The Word of God had to be restored in the people's hearts and in the people's mind. Look at verse 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, and also the king's words and how he had spoken to me. And they said, and we'll get to that one in just a minute, but I told them about what? The hand of God which was good upon me. In other words, I told them, this is what God is telling us to do. This is not what I'm telling you to do, but this is what God is telling us to do. And the hand of God is the one that is upon me. The hand of God is the one that is leading me. And this is not just Nehemiah's plan. This is not what Nehemiah wants to do. This is what God's plan for you is. And so the Word of God had to come to them. You know, Nehemiah could just go say, hey, I want to do this. I think we can do this. But if God wasn't in it, they'd have never got that wall rebuilt, right? They'd have never got it rebuilt. We find over in chapter 8, verses there through 1 through 12, you'll see that we're Ezra. Now, you know, the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, they overlap. Ezra's a priest, and we know that Ezra brings out the word. And one day, what does he do? He calls all the people together. And we see that Nehemiah says, gather them all up. They gather them all up. And Ezra stands and reads the word from morning to midday. Think about that. From morning to midday. Now, you know, if I don't get through preaching here pretty quick, a lot of y'all done quit listening already. But you'll sure enough quit listening then, won't you? Can you imagine reading from morning to midday? I mean, we as people today, you know, we wouldn't tolerate that. But maybe that's why we don't have revival. We need revival. They got the Word of God restored. And listen to what it says. So they read in the book of the law of the God distinctly, and they gave them sense and caused them to understand. So we see that he didn't just read it to them, but he caused them distinctly to understand. This is the Word of God. And until people start understanding the Word of God, until the Word of God is restored, and you know, unless we get the Word of God back in our churches, back where it belongs, then brothers and sisters, we will never experience revival. We got too many watered down, weak sermons that's going on that have nothing to do with the Word of God. I hear horror stories of some preachers that don't ever even open the Word of God and get up there and just give them a talk on Sunday. Oh, brothers and sisters, you can get that at AA meeting or somewhere else. People need to hear the Word of God. They need to hear that sin is sin. And we heard that this week. And the wages of that sin is death. But the grace of God is good. And salvation is free through Jesus. We need to hear those things. We need to understand those things. But the Word of God, excuse me, must be restored. But then what happens? We see that what? They accept the challenge. Do you see that in the second part of verse 18? Then I told them that the hand of my God was good upon me, as also the king's words that was spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Isn't that amazing? They accepted this challenge. They accepted the challenge to catch the vision, to obey the Word of God. You know, one of the preachers, Brother Trent, he preached about that one night. By obedience is the only way to have revival. But they obeyed what God was telling them to do. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. And you go over to chapter 4, verse 6 there of Nehemiah, and it says, so the wall was built, for the people had a mind to work. Now, if revival is going to take place, then brothers and sisters, it's going to take every one of us accepting the challenge. It's going to take every one of us working. It's going to take every one of us doing our part, being in church, being a part of God's work. And these people had a mind to work. They rose up and built. They strengthened their hand. Well, number 6, look what happens. We can expect the enemy to attack. We see that old Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant of the Amorites, and Geshem, the Arabian, what do? They began to laugh at them. They began to rebel again. They said, what are you all doing? You going to rebel against the king? You going against the king? You going to do this? And listen to me. They wanted to attack them. They wanted to do everything that they could to stop them. They tried to do everything that they could attack them and to keep them from being able to go in and to build this, to build the wall. And it got so bad that what happened? It says that nevertheless, what? We made our prayers unto our God, and we set our watch against the day and against the night because of them. And we remembered that the Lord, we will fight for what? For our brothers, for our sons, for our daughters, for our wives, and for all what? For all the houses and all those. See, this is what happened. This is what happens when you look to God. Your enemy may attack you, but you can overcome those attacks. You set up the watch, and you watch, and you do what you need to do so that they cannot overcome you. And they repaired the wall. They built the wall, even though the enemy was trying to do them. And God protected them. We know that what happened. You know the story, that half the time they were working with one hand and they had their sword in the other hand. At night, he set up watchmen to protect them all around the wall because they were scattered out and they had to do. So, you know, it's good to pray and it's good to ask God to protect us. But brothers and sisters, we got to do our part. We got to set up the watchman because the enemy is always going to attack. The enemy is always going to be after all of us. And we have to be careful because he will attack us. And he will try to destroy us in every way that he can. He will try to stop revival. That's just Satan. That's his goal. Stop revival. Don't let it happen. Don't let the people catch the vision. Don't let them accept the challenge. Don't let God's word be preached. You know, don't let them see the need. You know, keep their hearts hardened. Don't let them get a burden for the souls of the people that are around them. And then lastly, look what he says. Then I answered in them and said, the God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But he said, you ain't got any portion in this, Sanballat. You don't have any right. You don't have any memorial in Jerusalem. They have nothing to do with you. So you stay out of it. Listen to me. World ain't got nothing to do with our revival. We get revived so that we can help save the world. But the revival's got to take place in our hearts, in our churches, in God's people. And they don't have any part of this right now. We got to get revived so we can reach that lost and dying world. And this is what he says. God will prosper us. God will take care of us. And guess what? You go over into Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15 and 16, what did it say? And the wall was finished, and it gives you the day and the month and everything. It says the wall was finished, and all the enemies, when they heard it and they saw it, they was much cast down in their own eyes, because they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. See, brothers and sisters, if revival takes place, it's not because of Van Wyndham. It's not because of these other preachers that have been preaching revival. It's not because of the evangelists. God will prosper. What did Paul say? I plant, Apollos waters. Apollos may plant, and I may water. But it is always God that gives the increase. Tonight, this morning, today, America can be revived. God's word tells us that. It shows us that. Just as Jerusalem, these walls were built back and it was revived. It can be revived if we're just willing to do like Nehemiah. If we're just willing to do like the people, set our hands to it, put our mind to it, strengthen our hands and rise up and bring revival by sharing God's word. Be those laborers in this field, because the harvest is truly white. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we do know that revival can come to America. And Lord, I pray that it will come to America. And Lord, I ask you that it will continue at West Macomb Baptist Church, that it will spread through all of these other churches, Lord, that have been having revival. Lord, I pray that it will burn bright and even go through America, that we will see America revived. It can happen. It happened here in this story. It happened time and time in your word. And it can happen today if we'll just do our part. We know you're ready to prosper us if only we'll look to you. Speak to our hearts now, Lord. If there's one lost, help them to come to know Jesus tonight as their Lord and Savior. We ask it all in his precious name. Amen.